It was a great time to have Elizabeth on the show again. In the last episode, we spoke about project life cycles, and today we spoke about project scope and how proper definition of scope can affect your projects. I hope you enjoy our conversation.
It's great to have you, Elizabeth. Great to have you again.
It's nice to catch up with you again. It's been a while since we spoke, hasn't it?
Yeah, good. So this is the second time I'm having Elizabeth joining us on the show, right? And it's a privilege having you each time, Elizabeth.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, the last time was quite terrific. I enjoyed it. And every part of the session was fantastic. Yeah.
So, oh, and I'm glad.
Yeah. So to introduce Elizabeth to our listeners again, for those that did not listen to the first one, so they'll get to know you now. So Elizabeth Haring is a well-experienced project professional, right? She provides training, education, and mentorship to project managers. She's an author who teaches people how to manage multiple projects with more confidence and less stress. I know you have read about you know, managing multiple projects at a time without stressing yourself out, right? So...
I try. I think I was talking to a colleague today saying it's one thing to write about it. It's another thing to put every tip into practice and live an unstressed life, especially as a project manager.
Oh, yeah. So it's good to have you again, Elizabeth, once again.
Oh, well, thank you for having me back.
Yeah. So I'll be discussing the scope with you today and how it relates to project management, you know, everything we have to know about scope for those that don't know about it or those that want to know more about it. So yeah, project scope. So in simple terms, project scope is the work required to output a project deliverable. So Elizabeth, please, could you describe what project scope entails? You know, what is there to know about project scope? What does it entail? Please.
Okay, project scope is all the things that your project is going to deliver and all the work required to meet your objectives. So it represents the edges of your project, the boundaries. And as part of working out what is inside your boundary, you should also work out what is specifically excluded, because those are the things that you know you then don't have to worry about and you don't have to include.
Okay. So whatever you're not asked to do, you don't have to do them. Or if you do them, is there a crime in that?
No, not crime. But if you're doing work above and beyond the scope, you might be adding extra features that the client doesn't want, isn't going to pay for. It might add extra time. And while it might seem like a nice idea to do it just as a favor, actually what you're doing is meaning another project can't start because the resources are tied up on this work, or another project doesn't get funding because you're using it on your project to do something that's actually not necessary. And we could call that gold plating, where you're adding in extra bits. And scope creep is where you'd add in potentially big, where the scope sort of never ends and new things come into the inside your boundary, new things come into the list of tasks to do, and that can be quite uncontrolled, which is again a bit of a challenge because it just means your project takes longer and costs more, even if every change is approved and signed off and funded by the client.
Right. We'll still get to scope script. I would love you to discuss more about this scope script later in this recording, right? Thanks for that. So is there a reason why you have to define your scope, and why is it necessary? If you don't do it, will there be some challenges you would face on your project, or you can have a smooth ride on your project? It doesn't matter. So why do you think it's necessary?
Because all projects require you to do something, to deliver something in order to achieve a goal. And if you don't define what is in the scope of the project that is required in order to achieve that goal, then people won't really know what they're supposed to be doing. So the scope dictates everything from what the tasks are, what the deliverables are going to be created, what estimates need to be, and then the schedule, the timings of the whole project drop out of that too. So I think it's really important, because if the edges get blurry, people get confused about what's in scope and what's out of scope. And you don't have to have everything sorted out, like 100% of everything known. But ideally, you want to start from a position of clarity, really.
All right. Okay. So you have to understand what the project is meant to achieve before you can define the scope, right?
Exactly.
Okay. I think that is project scope. You know, the project scope, the project goal is the target of the project, what you're planning to achieve. Then that will help you in your scope. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So if your objective is to open a new shop, your scope needs to include everything required in order to get the shop open, more, no less. And then you could divide up the work between the team. You can get people to estimate for their portion of the work. You can get a better idea about how long it's going to take. And everyone then has an expectation of what's going to happen and what they're going to get at the end. They know it's going to be a shop with five windows, it's going to sell flowers, it's going to be open 7 days a week. You know, those things can come out of the conversations around what are we doing, how are we going to do it, who's doing it, and then you get a better idea of what your end product is going to look like, which means your stakeholders can say if it's the right thing or not.
I think with that, I would like to ask about the benefits. I think you mentioned some benefits of defining your scope on the project, right? But is there some other things you would like to say about the benefits of defining your scope? I think you mentioned something about gold plating the other time, and then scope script.
The benefits are that you can get people to question the assumptions they're making and be specific about their requirements, because you're asking them to spell out exactly what they're expecting to get. Yes. And then you can see if one stakeholder says our flower shop is going to be open 7 days a week, and the other stakeholder from HR says, I'm going to recruit people to work 5 days a week, then you can see there's an issue there. And knowing that early means you can address it before it becomes a real problem and get everybody on the same page about, really, are we doing a 7 day a week shop? Are we doing a 5 day a week shop? What are we doing? How many staff do we need? Oh, we need more staff than I thought. That's no problem. You can adjust it at the beginning before assumptions are made and it gets too difficult to change.
So since we have the benefits of defining scope, I believe we should have some repercussions of not clearly defining your scope, right? So can you talk about the dangers of not clearly defining your scope?
If you don't define it, I think the project ends up taking longer than expected, or you have extra work that comes out of the left field or isn't clear, or maybe rework if an item involves something that's not compatible with what you've already done. So I think scope isn't fixed forever. You can obviously add changes into a project later, and as long as you're prepared to accept the consequences of that, you can change scope however many times you want. But it's important to know what is important to the project or to the deliverables, to the value that you're going to get and the benefits, and then you can make better decisions about, are you going to accept new changes or not?
I think I can relate to that very well, because I worked with a real estate company at the time, and you know, the client was really bent on changing a lot of things on the project, and it's made the project took so long. You know, when I left the company, the project was still going on.
Really?
I think it's still going on at the moment, right?
Well, what I would tend to do in those situations is sort of stop saying yes to new changes and deliver one thing and then start another project, which could be called phase two or something like that. You know, some projects do run and run, and clients do need you to make loads of changes, but project governance can draw a line under it and say, let's open a new project, we'll close one thing, open a new project to deal with this new set of requirements, just so that you can say it's finished. Otherwise, or you have to accept the fact that it doesn't have a foreseeable end, because you're going to add more and more things in, and then it becomes more like product management, doesn't it? More like an ongoing business as usual set of tweaks and changes.
So for scope definition, right, is there a kind of a special process involved in it? Do we have to follow a kind of steps to define your scope? Is it that you have a meeting with the client, you maybe have a 10 hours meeting with them, or what are the processes involved in defining your scope?
I think you're exactly right. It's just talking to lots of people, getting all of the input, writing it down so you've got clarity, you've got a list of what's in scope and what's excluded. And if you're working in an agile environment, that would include populating the backlog, otherwise writing out requirements documentation to whatever level of detail is required by your organization. And I've worked on projects where it's been sort of software design, and we've created very, very specific requirements documentation, because obviously it's then handed over. Let's talk about the processes for defining scope. You were saying that it's a case of talking with the client, whether that's an internal client or an external client. And I think that's totally the case. It's really just talking, writing down the requirements, whether that's at a high level or in a very detailed way, like we had to do when we were doing software projects. And if you're in an agile environment, you'd populate the backlog with what those requirements are. And it is quite common that you have the high level scope items and don't have all the tiny details until later, but the conversations need to draw out the big pieces to help you define the rest. Really, defining scope is all around making sure that you're talking to people, talking to the right people, and asking questions around things like, who else needs to be involved? Does anyone else need to approve this? So you can work with your project sponsor, you can talk to subject matter experts, You can also do some reading and the research yourself, like looking at the business case, because that will tell you what the expectations are around what's in scope and the benefits. You can look at process maps or what similar projects have done in the past. And you can talk to end users as well, not just the project sponsor, but the people who are actually going to be using the thing.
So use the products, right? Oh, okay.
Yes. You could do a gap analysis about how things are now and how you want them to be. But really, it's like what you were saying. It's just a lot of talking and questioning to try to get to the bottom of what do people really want and how are we actually going to do it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, I think that is well understood. Yeah. But is there kind of a specific number of hours, maybe a recommended number of hours for such meetings? Or is it an ongoing process? Or is once?
A number of hours, I wouldn't think so. It's got to depend on the size of the project, because if you're doing something very small and that's not complex that you've maybe done before, then it's probably quite a quick job to sit down with two or three people and work out the scope. And I know I've talked about how you are going to do it as part of the scope conversation, but that's because if people say how we're going to do it, we're going to use this technology platform, or we're going to build using this construction method, then that shapes the scope, because you'll have to include setting those things up or procuring those items. Mm-hmm. So the how is relevant if people have opinions about that. But if it was a very complicated project, for example, and it affected lots of people, then you'd want to spend longer. And on one of the larger projects that I did around technology deployment, we spent hours and hours in workshops going over things and drawing process maps and working out what we actually wanted it to do. So it can take a long time.
Right. Yeah. So for scope definition, is it a one-off thing, or it's something that can be redefined along the project? Or is it just for the start that we'll define it and then we'll leave it that way?
No. I mean, I'm sure some people will say, yes, you should. But in reality, the projects I work on, certainly you do change things as you go along, partly because you don't have all the information at the beginning if you work in a very uncertain or volatile environment. And you might have new constraints or a priority that comes up, and that changes the focus for the requirements. So I'd say, and also, like you were talking about earlier around scope creep and new changes, a change request will change the scope. So even something that's very small will potentially need planning and budget and time allocated to it. So you can redefine your scope all along. It's just understanding what the consequences of that are. And like I say, it's likely to be more time, perhaps a bit more money, maybe a different resource or something.
All right, thank you. So for kind of a similar project, for some similar projects, like construction of a kind of house, that are similar, can your experience help you in defining scope? Can you do a kind of the same scope for the same project, for different projects, or do you have to redefine at every point? I meant similar projects.
Well, I think you use your professional judgment and your learnings from past projects. And if the project is very similar, then you would start from the position of knowledge that you have and say, chances are 99% of our project is going to be identical to this other similar project we ran last year. You start with that. And there is an exercise to validate and check that nothing's changed. But you don't have to perhaps have a big scope workshop and set things up. I would start with what I already had and then confirm and engage people instead of brainstorming from scratch what we need to do. Also, because people would look at you like, well, didn't we do this last year? Why are we reinventing the wheel? So there's always a chance that something is different, or there might be a new constraint or a new member of the team who doesn't have all the background or something. But broadly, let's work smart and use what we've got.
So you can use your previous project as a kind of a template for the new one, right?
Exactly.
So that is well understood. Thank you. So to conclude, really, it's been a nice time with you, really, on the show again. Yeah, and I would like you to talk about scope script. You mentioned it earlier, but can you give us a kind of detailed explanation on scope script? How can it happen? What does it mean? Can it be avoided? Yeah.
Well, scope creeping project management is where additional requirements are added to the project beyond what was originally agreed in your scope, and those additions are not formally authorized. It's different from change control, because if someone requests the change, it's considered, it's approved, that can be added and the project altered to accommodate that. But scope creep is where you get changes being added in and they don't go through that analysis page. So typically for me, it's when someone will say, can you just dot, 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 and it will be, you know, add that in, or it won't take long if we also do something, something. And, you know, you can make any changes at any point, but you need to document and analyze and incorporate them properly, because the scope creep just causes so many headaches. Like, and it happens because the scope wasn't defined properly in the first place, so no one knows what's in and out of scope. They just make it up as they go along. There's no requirements management process, there's no change management process, or there might be an inconsistent process. PMI did some research and they identified the top five causes of scope creep are those, plus lack of sponsorship, lack of stakeholder involvement, and the length of the project, because the longer the project goes on, the more time it is for that sponsors have to redefine their ideas and for them to come up with new things they want you to do.
Of course, Is there a kind of a real life situation where you were involved in this kind of thing? Maybe a project you were managing, there was kind of a scope creep on that. Is there one you can, tell us about? Or maybe so. Maybe there was one that someone has worked on that you.
I'm trying to think. I do know. I mean, we talk about them as zombie projects where they just never end. But the challenges that I've had with those kind of projects are really where there's been nobody to hand over to. So I suppose that is a failing of scope, because we never identified where the deliverables would sit at the end, and so part of the scope was missing in that handover and transition and ownership of where does it go. So it just ended up with me, because there wasn't anybody else to do it. You know, months later, I'm still answering questions about how this spreadsheet works, or what did we buy and why did we buy it? Anything is not really my job.
So
I suppose that's personal scope creep, in that my job expanded.
Oh, fantastic.
With an informal authority to do it, because there wasn't anybody else.
Okay. Thank you very much, Elizabeth. It's a great time with you again today. I thank you for talking about your experiences, and thank you for the knowledge again today. Yeah, I hope that you will join again when I call you.
You're very welcome, and it's been lovely to come and chat to you about this topic today. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, thank you. So, catch up with you later.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Elizabeth. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Speak Project Management Podcast. We trust you had a great listening time. All episodes of the podcast are jointly prepared by Adekunle Ayodele and Oyewole Oluwatosin. Until we meet again on another episode, keep speaking project management.